scripture lesson is Philippians 4, verses 4 through 7. Philippians 4, verses 4 through 7. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your gentleness be made known to everyone. The Lord is near. Do not worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Which is bigger? God or your problems? And now, before any of you say this morning, well, John, that's a no-brainer, that's obvious. Before we relax in the obvious, perhaps I should ask it in this way. What is your response to life's aggravations? What is your response to life's problems? I heard a statement a few weeks back that, again, it sounds so obvious, but for me it was a light bulb moment. This was the statement, quote, "When we focus on our problems, our God becomes small. When we focus on God, our problems become small." End quote. I regret to say that I have to confess that I have been guilty of making God small on more than one occasion. I have been guilty of allowing myself to become so overwhelmed with aggravations and problems confronting me that I could not even pray. Have you ever been there? If not, you have my admiration. For as human beings, the natural result is that when we confront the problem, we move into worry, and then when we move into worry, we make the problem bigger, and a vicious cycle begins, and round we go. I have read, so now if there's any scientist in here that would correct me, I read this. I'm not professing to be a scientist. But I have read that according to the U.S. Bureau of Standards, that a dense fog covering 7 city blocks to a depth of 100 feet condensed into water would not quite fill a drinking glass. Light fog. Our worries can thoroughly block our vision to the light of God's promises and presence. But in the final analysis, oftentimes there's very little substance to them. But even if there is substance to our source of our concern, worry only serves to take our focus off of God and to focus it on our concern. Now, I can hear someone respond, but John, there are times when one's concern will cause major changes or upheaval to one's life. And it may even bring grief. And John, problems don't always go away. I would not disagree. And neither would Paul. Paul had to leave Philippi because of persecution as he had been falsely imprisoned there. He wrote the Philippian letter while he was in prison in Rome. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 24 through 27, Paul lists the hardships that he had endured because of being an apostle, where he writes this: 5 times I have received from the Jews the 40 lashes minus one. 3 times I have been beaten with rods. Once I received a stoning. 3 times I was shipwrecked. For a night and day I drifted at sea. On frequent journeys, I've been in danger from rivers, danger from bandits, danger from my own people, danger from the Gentiles, danger in the city, danger in the wilderness, danger at sea, danger from false brothers and sisters, in toil and hardships through many a sleepless night, hungry and thirsty, often without food, cold and naked. One who had endured hardships that most of us cannot even imagine wrote from a prison in Rome, knowing that execution was a very real possibility, writes, "Rejoice." Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Now, how can one rejoice when their individual world is crashing down and the world at large appears to be growing crazy when the world at large is in total chaos? How do you rejoice? First, the good news is that we can rejoice regardless of what's happening to us, regardless of what's happening around us. We are reminded that joy, or the ability to rejoice, is not the result of feeling happy. Feelings come and feelings go according to circumstance, and they can often change in a short amount of time. If someone we love is going through a difficult circumstance, we're not happy. I'm not happy about Zach this morning. I'm not happy about that one little bit. I don't go bebopping into the office with him saying, "Oh boy, we get to go have a neuro examination." I'm not happy at all. But I still have joy, because my emotions and my joy are not dependent upon the same thing. Even in the midst of stress, even in the midst of uncertainty, even in the midst of heartache, we know that Jesus is with us. That Jesus, through the Holy Spirit, is ever present. The psalmist declared in Psalm 139, verses 7 through 12, "Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you're there. If I make my bed in Sheol, the place of the dead, you're there. If I take the wings of the morning and settle at the farthest limits of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me and your right hand shall hold me fast. If I say, 'Surely the darkness shall cover me and the light around me become night,' even the darkness is not dark to you. The night is as bright as the day, for the darkness is as light to you." The psalmist, centuries before Christ, was confident that regardless of the brightness or the bleakness of life in any given moment, God was present. In our scripture lesson, Paul urges the reader to rejoice in the Lord. And then in verse 5, he reminds us, the Lord is near. The Lord is near. We have joy. We are able to rejoice, not because life is always to our liking, not because we're always happy, but because God is always with us. And is this not what we celebrate during the Advent and Christmas seasons? We celebrate that the Word of God became flesh and dwelt among us. With the birth of Christ, God, who had been completely holy, H-O-L-Y, other, completely unapproachable, was born as a vulnerable baby. And as a result, and as an adult, lived a life among us as a human being, perfectly submitted to the will of God the Father. And now dwells with us and in us through the Holy Spirit. God is near. Dr. Tony Campolo says that when he was a boy, growing up in a congested, bustling city, his mother had arranged for a teenage girl who lived nearby to walk home with him. But when he was in the second grade, he declared his independence. And he told his mother that he would walk by himself. And so after a period of pleading and begging, he finally got his way. So for the next 2 years, he walked back and forth to school. It was an 8-block walk with many streets to cross. But he was careful. He did not talk to strangers. He didn't get distracted along the way. Years later, he was at a family party and he was bragging about his independence and reminded his family of how he had been independent from an early age and had been taking care of himself since he was a small boy. And his mama started laughing. She said, "Let me tell you the rest of the story. Did you really think you were alone? Every morning when you left for school, I left with you. I walked behind you all the way. When you got out of school at 3:30, I was there. I always kept myself hidden, but I was there, and I followed you all the way home. I just wanted to be there in case you needed me." All those times we thought we were so brilliant. All those times we thought we were so intelligent. All those times we thought we were accomplishing so much. God was there. All of those times, perhaps, when we were stressed, when we were scared, when we were confused, when we were bewildered. All of those times we cried out to God, but we could not feel God. We could not see God. We could not hear God. And we wanted to holler out, "God, where are you?" God was there. Again, the psalmist proclaims in Psalm 145, verses 13 through 19, "The Lord is faithful in all his words and gracious in all his deeds. The Lord upholds all who are falling and raises up all who are bowed down. The eyes of all look to you and you give them their food in due season. You open your hand, satisfying the desire of every living thing. The Lord is just in all his ways and kind in all his doing. The Lord is near to all who call on him, to all who call on him in truth. He fulfills the desire of all who fear him. He also hears their cry and saves them." Again, centuries before Christ, the psalmist proclaimed what Paul would later encourage the Philippians.
as they endure difficult times of persecution. The psalmist proclaims the faithfulness of God, including the Lord is near to all who call upon Him, to all who call on Him in truth. Centuries later, the Apostle Paul would write to a persecuted church, "The Lord is near. Do not worry about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus." We don't have to be stressed. It is possible to not be stressed. We don't have to worry. It is truly possible to not worry. And that's because we focus on God who is near. We pray about everything. We talk to God about everything. And as we do, we are freed from the stress, and we are freed from the worry, and we live a life of peace that is beyond the world's understanding. Let us pray. Our most gracious and loving Lord, as human beings, we must confess life is not always to our liking. As human beings, we must confess there are times when our struggles would threaten to overwhelm us. But gracious Lord, may we focus on You. May we lean on You. May we lean on You in those times when we feel You so close. May we lean on You in those times when You seem far away, but may we never forget that indeed You are near. You know each person in this room. You know their struggles. You know the fog that would block their vision of the light of Your love and Your grace and Your peace and Your presence. Lord, free us from the stress. Free us from the worry. Because we know that indeed You are bigger than any of our problems. In Jesus' most holy name we pray. Amen. This morning our altar is open. As always, if you feel led to come and pray for any reason, please come as we sing our hymn.